Do you own money, or is it just your turn with it? Do deaf people really know why farts are so funny? And shouldn't fire trucks actually be called water trucks? All these questions and more on the Abnormal Matters podcast.
Those were really good.
I like the deaf people one.
I do too.
I mean, could you just picture like someone ripping one and you're deaf and everybody else is laughing and then...
Well, is it a more of like whoever smelt it, dealt it kind of thing? Are we
They laughing? Finally get the joke, yeah. Until they when they smell it, right?
I love that.
Well, welcome back, guys, to episode 34 of the Abnormal Matters podcast. And we picked a really good one, interesting one. It's not really widespread out there, but we figured we'd dig into this one, go down this rabbit hole. Episode 34 is the Hutchison Effect. And before we do our discovery and that kind of stuff on Mr. John Hutchison, we wanted to give you our science news of the week. Miss Rachel, you had that.
I am presenting an only in Florida, and I feel like maybe an only in Florida should just be a sub-level. Like, why does all this weird shit happen in Florida? Like, it's insane to me. But I found this really funny.
Is it
funny.
On the panhandle?
Well, Miami.
Okay, no, it's not the panhandle.
No, but I mean the panhandle could just be, you know, because it's in Alabama or close to Alabama or whatever.
That's where they see all the UFOs and shit.
Yeah, no. this is more just really funny. It tickled me a little when I was reading it. So on Tuesday, July 10th, 46-year-old armless street painter Jonathan Dale Crenshaw was arrested after he grabbed a pair of scissors with his feet and launched himself towards 22-year-old Cesar Coronado and stabbed him with the instrument. The arrest report stated that the incident occurred on the 1600 block of Collins Avenue in Miami, Florida. Coronado was walking with his friend, Cindy Baranito. She should have probably been reading these names. 22, both from Chicago, were visiting Miami Beach. Crenshaw claimed he was lying down on the street when Coronado allegedly punched him in the head. Crenshaw stated...
Wait a minute, the guy with no arms?
No. The guy from Chicago apparently punched armless guy in the head.
Okay.
Allegedly.
Who's armless guy's name?
Crenshaw.
Crenshaw, okay.
Yep.
Crenshaw kinks for life, motherfucker. Almost.
Too many C's.
Yeah.
Colin, Cindy, Crenshaw... So, Crenshaw stated in self-defense that he grabbed a pair of scissors with his feet and stabbed Coronado twice, inflicting a stab wound on his left arm, leaving him bleeding on the ground. Crenshaw placed the scissors back into his waistband with his feet.
That's some skills.
And then quickly fled the scene.
He's got to be a fast runner.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's... Police were informed of the situation and found Crenshaw later. Paramedics took Coronado to the Mount Sinai Medical Center. Damn, he's getting legit treatment.
And what'd the cops do? How'd they arrest him? Put handcuffs on his feet?
Dude, I wish they would have said that. Damn it. All it says is he was arrested and charged with aggravated assault. I wonder if they put handcuffs on his feet. Oh my God, that's hilarious. And his bond was only $7,500. But... I was like, how do you stab somebody when you don't have hands? But, I mean, when you've been using your feet your whole life.
I'm just trying to picture it. Because he's standing.
No, he was laying down at this point.
Laying down. But then he got up. Right?
So was he one hot leg?
He was one legging and stabbing the dude?
He was like ninja kicking?
Yeah. That's what I'm picturing.
That seems legit. And he has really good skills. Apparently, because he didn't miss.
Put his scissors back in a holster.
And then took off running.
That's some skill.
I know. But why does all this weird shit happen in Florida?
It always is Florida, isn't it?
It is.
It's either that or anything coming out of California is going to give you cancer.
I'm just going to have cancer in a year.
Have you ever seen any of that? Like in Home Depot? Like if you ever buy anything from Home Depot... Look at the labels.
Yeah.
It'll say all the stuff, and then always at the bottom, it'll say, in California, this gives you cancer.
Right.
Only in California, though.
Right, exactly. And it's like, CA-45, this is known to cause, blah, blah, blah. You're eventually going to fall off the country anyway.
Right. Eventually.
Take your carcinogens with you.
Eventually, yes. Because that big old Yosemite National Park is going to blow someday.
I know.
I actually saw, and not to take away from your news, but I saw on my news feed that there are pathways in Yosemite.
Yeah.
That are being shut down because people's sneakers are melting to the path because it's so hot from the ground underneath. And a lot of the wildlife has been vamoosing.
Right.
Out of the area.
Can you imagine how that would feel on bare feet? If your rubber soles are melting on the ground?
I just look at the sheer fact that if the animals are leaving, you better leave.
Kind of
like the tsunami coming and all the animals flee and they already know about it coming.
Right.
Yeah. And we're always the last one standing there like, what's that?
Well, if you ever watch even just like Sagan or my cats, when a storm's coming in, you know when it's going to be especially bad because the cats are... And I'm sure Sagan's like, not today, Satan.
He starts heavy breathing even right. before it hits.
Right. He knows.
Yep. Crazy stuff out of Florida.
Yep.
Wonder if he knows that. I mean, like, that's... To be able to have some scissors and stab someone, you've got to know a lot more other shit. Like,
why are you homeless, dude?
This guy has got to do... So, I wonder if he was born that way. And he's just learned how to be... You know, that's his hands.
Right.
Brushes his teeth, shaves. Well, homeless. Scratch all that. Eats. Plays piano.
Right. He's an artist. But so I guess this really happened in 2008, but it's circulating again. Hmm. And so it says that he is an artist and apparently a very good artist. But he's also some kind of creep.
Oh, add that in, huh?
Yeah. Crenshaw talks a lot about sex and the many women he's impregnated while including Gloria Estefan, who he says has birthed about 200 of his children.
200.
200.
Wow.
Yep. That's how she made her band.
Yeah. I mean, that's one way to do it, the Partridge Family style. You know?
Yeah. And so basically he keeps getting arrested. And even though he was punched in the head and clearly self-defense, this was not his first rodeo.
No.
And still.
That's why he carries scissors.
Right. And still does, apparently. And has impregnated Gloria Estefan over 200 times. That's fucking impressive. She looks amazing for having 200 children.
Yeah. Absolutely. 200 children. So she's over 200 years old?
She would have to be. Yeah. So she's probably a vampire.
Unless they had twins and triplets and that kind of stuff.
But still.
Yeah.
She would have to have at least, what? An average of... 4 kids at a time to be up there.
To be at her age?
Yeah. Yeah. Good old Florida.
All right. So, the Hutchison effect. I got a little bit about Mr. John Hutchison from, you know, when he was younger and just a little bit of stats and that kind of stuff before we start really getting into it. Some of my research... kind of dug into old school science and right. that kind of stuff. So it was really interesting. I liked going down this rabbit hole. John Hutchison, he was born October 19th, 1945 in Canada. So you better get Canadian and check this out. In 1955, John showed interest in electronics, chemistry, radio transmissions, and astronomy at the age of 10. Attending school until the 8th grade, and then he went through private tutoring for the next 3 years for his schooling. So didn't finish high school and got some private tutoring and that kind of stuff to finish it up. In 1959, his first experiments were trying to create cannons and guns.
And setting off hydrogen balloons.
Yes, that was a big, go ahead and talk about that one.
Well, that is basically all the information I got on it is basically he was creating havoc in the science community and his community since he was a kid.
Yeah.
Doing stuff like you've mentioned, setting off hydrogen balloons and people were thinking they were UFOs and calling in all freaked out.
Yeah, he was a little bit of the Dennis the Menace of Canada.
Oh, yeah.
And in 1968, he created three small free energy devices with no input, making them a zero-point energy source.
Right.
Now, we're going to start digging in a little bit to what free the zero-point free energy is. But the device that he did create, it put out a 10 volts at 5,000 mA. Electricity, that's not a lot of juice for anything, but I mean it's impressive,
right?
Coming out of thin air,
and it's small enough to power something very small,
like a phone,
right?
Yeah,
yep.
It'll charge a phone because I think the plug chargers are a 10V or no, a 5V.
Oh yeah,
so definitely be able to charge that. In 1969. He was a janitor at a hospital. Obviously, he was big into firearms, and he opened a gun museum in Vancouver, Canada. And eventually, the law caught up to him because he's a prankster and that kind of stuff. So they started looking into him. He fought the law about owning firearms after the law changed in Canada. So apparently, back then, Canada, you didn't have to register your guns.
Right.
You could just own a gun, whatever. It is what it is. So then they started making everybody register them. He didn't like that idea. It's kind of like the old U.S. You aren't taking my guns.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
America.
Yeah. But he went to court. He won. And the laws had to change across the nation because of him.
That's impressive.
Very impressive. It was a 2-year-long battle. And he finally won in court.
Can you imagine going up against that? Like, the entire country? That's insane.
Yeah. Well, it just kept on moving. Kind of like right. Our court system. It just kept on moving up, up, and up. And, yeah, they finally said, you're right. Yeah. So, John's guns were not registered. And that new law was when that law was being laid out. But he didn't get, after he won, he didn't get a shit back for 2 years.
Course. He's lucky he even got it back at that point.
Right. Have you, and to explain John, did you see pictures of him?
Oh, yeah. And I watched several videos.
Yeah. John has long, wild hair.
It's like a very, very side part. Like it starts almost maybe like 2 inches from maybe 3 from the top of his ear on one side. So it's like a comb over for a bald person, except for he's got shoulder length hair.
Back in the day, super long, just always super long, crazy hair.
Yeah.
He's 6'5". So he's pretty hard to miss.
Yeah.
And he lived in an apartment in Vancouver and you could tell which one was John's.
Yeah. You could see all of these contraptions and stuff, but and we'll get to this, is his neighbors didn't give a shit about the contraptions.
Right.
They cared about the shit that was moving inside of their apartments when he was doing his experiments.
Right. The balcony was overflowing with electronics that he accumulated from salvaged ships and submarines. So he's going out and he's buying army-grade technological electronics and shit.
From, like, Navy shipyards.
Yeah. Army surpluses.
Right.
All that good stuff. Majority of his electronics, obviously the military salvages. His apartment was so full of gadgets and electronics, there was only standing room and enough for him to have a single-size bed to rest. So, looks like the inside of a submarine.
And that's part of the reason why he couldn't really even accelerate some of his experiments because he didn't have room. It was such a pain in the ass to pull one thing out to do an experiment and then have to put it all back. I would have gave up too. And I'm like, fuck that.
But that was his life. Just electronics all around him.
And it's still...
He lived it.
He's still living, experiencing that. He's just a little more, very much off the radar at this point. He has his own website that looks like MySpace.
Old school.
Old school MySpace, where it's black background, neon letters.
Mm-hmm. Like DOS or something like mm-hmm. that. He's writing
yeah, in. Yeah. He's got a cat on there.
So John has been featured on over 300 TV shows and over 1,000 radio shows.
Yep.
Especially one of my favorites, Coast to Coast.
Art Bell.
Mm-hmm.
And now, what's the guy's name now? I can't remember his
George
name.
George
Norrie. Yep, George Norrie.
Yeah.
Love AM Coast to Coast.
I loved Art Bell versus Norrie.
Oh, yeah.
No offense, but Art Bell was great.
My dad was a truck driver, and he used to listen to Art Bell when he was driving truck, and he would drive truck overnight. And I'm pretty sure Art Bell scared the shit out of him on a regular basis. Yeah.
Not Art Bell, but all the Yahoos that go on there.
Well, that and just the topics. When you're driving down a long, desolate road by yourself in a semi-truck, I wouldn't stop. I'd go 100 miles an hour.
So, I mean, let's talk a little bit about his experiments, what he was doing.
Okay, let's do it.
You got some on that?
I have, basically, what I have is he was trying to recreate the experiments of Nikola Tesla. And I know you have a lot on that. And he has many claims that he was discovering new phenomena as well, such as, like, there's the one where he embedded a butter knife into a piece of metal. So basically what his experiments were doing were either melting objects together, levitating objects, and fusing objects together. The one I will never forget is how that piece of metal, it just sheared.
Snapped.
It just snapped, but you could tell it was like it started to melt, and then for whatever reason, it froze back up, or it went back to its original consistency.
Mm.
So it's very shardy and
flaked
you can see
off.
And flaked off, and you can see the lines. And those are some of the things that he was doing just in his apartment. And like I said earlier, it wasn't just happening in his apartment. It was happening in the surrounding apartments as well. Whenever he was doing whatever experiments he was doing, metal in other areas of his apartment complex was feeling that or experiencing that. That you touched on this earlier is he invented the battery, the crystal battery, mm-hmm. which is capable of creating free energy, or they're called Hiroshima cells. But you can see in the one video where he took that crystal, and I was like, this is right up my alley. I love crystals. Let me go do some experiments. Where through the series, and you're way more scientific than I am, so you'll have to explain what the bits and pieces are. But he basically threw series of connecting cables to a piece of crystal, and he did show how many volts were inside of it. Just like there was nothing inside of it. Just pointed the little thing in there, mm-hmm. and he had a half a volt, and it was able to propel a very small, tiny fan. So he had this on a huge level, and just these tiny, tiny crystals are creating all this free energy. What I think, and I know we'll touch on this later too, is there are a lot of people that try to discredit him in the scientific community, the political community, governmental communities. Why the hell would you want people having free energy?
Hey, and I mean, it's a good segue. So, zero-point energy. When scientists talk about that, it's zero-point energy equals free energy.
Right.
The definition is getting more energy out of something that is getting put into the system. So, free energy meaning like a perpetual motion device would be considered an example of that. Well,
a little bit of that.
Newton cradle technically is not.
Okay.
It's just basically saying there's that just symbolizes for every action there's an opposite
reaction.
And equal reaction.
Yeah.
And with perpetual motion, if that was a perpetual motion machine, we technically could let it go, and then it would just keep going.
Right.
But because there's a hit and then the reaction, you're expelling the energy.
Right, and you're pushing it to the other side.
Mm-hmm. Now, in physics, and this is one of the most simplified things when you go through your physics class, energy cannot be created or destroyed. It just is transferred in some way or fashion. And Nikola Tesla was a huge believer in that type of zero-point energy that resided in our atmosphere. We have energy that flows through our atmosphere constantly. And Tesla, you ever heard of the Tesla coil?
Yeah.
The Tesla coil is like the kid version of it is that ball, and then you turn it on, you touch it. And the thing zaps over. That's a Tesla coil. So he was trying to back then, like 100 years ago, he was being able to take a neon bulb and hold it near it.
Yeah.
And it would light up.
Right.
Because it would pick up on the frequency of the atmosphere. And it was free energy. And Tesla was all about trying to give that to the world.
Right, because it's so monetized. He's probably rolling over in his grave 300 times over how monetized electricity is at this point.
Yeah. And the funny story behind it was Tesla, he needed money to be able to build these huge towers.
Yeah, what's the one tower that he built in 1905? The Waldendorf Tower?
I think that's where it is, near Niagara Falls.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, I forget the name of it, but yeah. I mean, his lab was, I would have just loved to have seen his lab in the, while it worked. You know what I mean? Just it,
like mad scientist vibes.
Yes, and his eventual vision was to create all these towers all across the world and just let everybody have free energy.
Right.
The one cool thing that I did find with Tesla, and now I understand why Elon Musk named his company Tesla, was Tesla's automobile that he created in the 1930s.
Was electric.
Wasn't even electric. Mm-mm. So he ripped out the engine of the car and replaced its locomotion of the car. And he also added in a black box with radio tubes that fit into the glove box.
Okay.
And then he added an antenna that stuck up into the air, leading kind of like just like our car radio. And he had his tower working at Niagara Falls, and he would tune it to the right frequency to be able to catch that free energy.
Yeah.
And the car would go.
So kind of like where I'm from up north is we have what we call the South Shore train, and it's an electric train. I mean, it's based on electric. It's got these little things that come up the top of it, and they run, it's on an electric rail. So it's bzzz, and so it's basically kind of like the same concept, only it's not free.
But this power is just getting pulled from the air. And he's able just to, well, he never drove. He never learned how to drive. He always had a chauffeur.
Wardenclyffe Tower.
Ah.
Looks like the upside down giant mushroom. In Long Island.
In Long Island?
Long Island.
So he was able to create free energy and use this car with no gas, no electric, just simply pulling from the air. Crazy.
In 1920s,
1930s.
Right.
This guy is creating this stuff.
He was far beyond his years.
Way beyond his years.
So, funny story is when I was doing my research for Science News of the Week, I've actually found a news story, and it wasn't enough for us to discuss. But you can now get implants in your hand to unlock your Tesla car. And this one guy did it, and he actually has an implant in one hand to unlock his car and another implant on his other hand that houses his personal information, such as his name, date of birth, social security number, credit card information, all in an implant that he went to literally a tattoo shop. They numbed him up and they inserted it under his hand, and now
It's like a pit tag.
Yeah.
Like for with dogs.
Yeah.
And they get lost and you scan it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So this guy did that so he can unlock his car because the Bluetooth wasn't working and it wasn't consistent.
Some of our Christian faith would believe that's the mark of the beast.
I was going to go there.
You know why they do it on the back of the hand? Or at least from what I saw in Bible study and that kind of stuff, they say that the mark of the beast will be on the hand or on the forehead. And why would that scientifically be actually true and prudent?
Well, when your palms sweat a lot.
No.
Back of your hands are more visible?
Back of your hand and the forehead are the last place that you start collecting fat. If you start becoming overweight and obese, right, those are the last points on the body that collect fat.
You're right. My forehead right here is super skinny and the back of my hands are super skinny.
So, fun fact.
Yes, it is.
But Nikola Tesla, he tried to partner with J.P. Morgan. The good old banking system we have now, right?
Yep.
Well, J.P. Morgan himself was behind saying, yeah, we'll fund you. We'll give you the money to build all these towers.
How much did he give them?
I think grand total, and of course, back then, it's so much money. But I think he was asking for like a mil or 2 mil or something like that to create these projects all across the U.S. And Tesla put his money up first to start building the one tower.
Yeah, the Wyden-Clef. J.P. Morgan gave him $150,000. But you know what that equivalents to today's dollars? $4,885,000.
Thank you. That's where I was going with that figure.
Insane. But he had a 51% share of
everything.
Patents.
Mm-hmm. So as Tesla's starting to build these things, and J.P. is feeding them just a little bit of what the project is going to ask for, J.P. changes his mind. He says, how am I going to monetize this? How am I going to monetize free energy?
You can't.
You can't. So hence, he backs out.
Yeah.
And it basically bankrupts Tesla because he has fed so much money into start building this.
But think of how much more money people would have to put. I know this is going way off in left field, but if you didn't have to pay for electricity.
Right.
You're still going to take that money and put it into the economy.
Right. So we're starting to see some of the technology with the next generation of the 4G, 5G.
Right.
The 6G, we're not going to see towers anymore. The cell phone towers?
I barely see towers anymore, though, as it is.
It's because they're starting the project of 6G.
Yeah.
We're going to see little boxes around everywhere.
Kind of like the police boxes they
have. Within 20 feet of each other?
Yeah.
You're just going to see random boxes on sides of buildings, on street lamp sides, that kind of stuff. And those are going to be to send the network.
So it's going to be like, again, back to the Tesla coil, where they have to be close enough for that wireless energy. Because if we're being honest, Nikola Tesla created Bluetooth energy, or Bluetooth.
I mean,
it was, or wireless, not Bluetooth, wireless.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where they just have to be close enough to protrude that energy. Yep. So 20 feet away, constant connectivity.
It's all about frequency.
Yep.
It's all about the hertz. And
hertz, don't it?
Good old donut joke. So, yeah, J.P. Morgan basically screwed him. Tesla, he then started becoming a recluse and that kind of stuff after that.
Do you blame him?
I don't. Tesla was a little cuckoo. He was. He thought he was getting transmissions from outer space.
But you kind of have, well, and again, when you're producing electromagnetic fields constantly, it has to do a little bit of something to your brain.
Something. If you're standing in that field a whole bunch.
Right.
Yeah. Montauk in New York. It was one of the weirdest. It's a weird place because even the Montauk Project. You ever heard about that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That car that he made, at some point in time, it disappeared and it was never to be seen again. They said he stored it somewhere near Niagara Falls.
So we need to go on a treasure hunt, is what you're telling me.
Yes.
Okay. I'm down.
Yep. So, segueing into with Hutchinson. He was trying to follow in the footsteps of Tesla.
And he is currently still, no matter what people believe about him, he is the world's foremost expert at this point on Nikola Tesla. Or Nikola Tesla. Sorry. It's
Nikolai.
Nikola.
I think it is. Or is it Nikola?
It ends in an A.
Yeah, Nikola. Hutchinson, of course, you know, he's trying to follow in the footsteps of it, and he was rebuilding Tesla's experiments piece by piece using the old school technology, trying to, and adding a little bit of current technology into it, trying to accomplish that zero energy. And when he thought he had it all right with all of his experiments, John flipped the switch and some shit happened. Because he was...
Shit went down.
Instead of... Because he was trying to send energy from point A to point B.
Right.
Kind of like Tesla was doing, right? But what he got was the Hutchinson effect.
Where he was moving objects.
He was moving objects instead. He noticed a metal bar and his scrap began to melt like butter.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, literally, like, you guys can look it up.
And we can also post to the Facebook page, and I do have a couple links as we get to this, or through this, that we can post on the Facebook page for you guys to see.
Remind me later to make you an admin. I forgot. But he noticed that small metal bar began to just, like, a stick of butter, just in a microwave. Just started to, and it's 3 inches by 3 inches iron.
Right. It is an iron bar.
Yeah.
So we're not talking a butter knife or a spoon. We are talking a 3-inch solid steel. Was it steel? Or we are just assuming?
Iron.
Iron.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So iron bar that nobody's splitting. Mm-hmm. I mean, most common machinery now is not even going to be able to bend.
Thousands and thousands of pound hydraulic presses.
Exactly.
Are going to be able to
do that. Right.
Not the world's strongest man in the carnival.
No,
he's not bending that shit.
Mm-mm.
But it was just doing it by itself. You know, I was saying you can see all this on YouTube. If you just type in the Hutchinson effect, Hutchison, it is amazing what he has able to accomplish. There's a couple of them, not even just bending metal and that kind of stuff, but like Rachel was saying, levitation of things. There was a 70-pound cannonball.
Yep.
That was he was able to lift up off of the table where he was putting all the frequencies and everything into.
And what I like about this video is the cannonball, you can see it shuddering, for lack of a better term, and it's just hovering above this board. And you can tell that the energy becomes too much for the other object, the other metal object that's in there, because that metal object goes... Fume!
Shot straight up.
Once that metal, it was almost like a fork of something. Like, it looked like a tuning fork to me.
Mm-hmm.
Once that was up out of the way, the cannon ball moved at least a good 5 inches from the platform. Whereas before, where that other metal was interfering, it was having a hard time levitating. And it levitated.
Here's where I kind of go a little crazy mm-hmm. on my conspiracy theories and just ancient alien stuff.
Oh, yeah.
If Tesla was able to do this in the 1920s with rudimentary science using ultra high frequency electromagnetic waves, who's to say that they didn't have that type of devices and that kind of stuff back then from, you know, like an ancient alien and that kind of stuff and building the pyramids?
Right.
The Egyptians had batteries. They made batteries. Did you know that?
I did not.
We have found...
Hence the head snap.
Yeah. We have found batteries that they have made. Just simple rudimentary batteries of using water and an alkaline, like an acid.
Right.
What do they need batteries for?
Cooking. Right? Yeah, everything. But, no, I know, but yeah. I
mean, back then, what the hell did you need electricity for?
So it literally throws a wrench in everything that we know about... science and the way pyramids were built, Stonehenge, any of this stuff, because there could have been, if Nikola Tesla could have found out this technology in the 1900s, there's no reason why this technology could not have been discovered and used in those times.
The victor writes history. Mm-hmm. So there's so much information that has gotten lost because another civilization has come in and destroyed the one that they just took over.
Well, just think of like the Mayans. The Mayans, or there is always somebody that thinks that they, well, we don't really have to worry, luckily, so much in our times about people coming through and conquering us for new land and stuff. But we did. We had to have lost a ton of stuff through the voyages of them coming over for, what, 1500s, right?
Oh, yeah.
And you lost, like you said, lost entire civilizations.
Where'd the Incas go? Nobody knows.
Nobody knows. And they, and a lot of people try, and I know this is going a little off track, but a lot of people try to say, you know, they left because there weren't enough resources. Well, how did they do so well for so long and then lose their resources and then just completely fucking disappear? And
vanish. Right.
Maybe they're the aliens now. Mind blown.
What John was able to produce from base, the same thing that Tesla was, and it is all about that. It's about frequencies,
right,
and using the electromagnetic waves to harness and empower where you're pointing this stuff and where you're directing it.
Right.
And at one point, and I was listening to one of the Coast to Coast ones, but John has been nothing but harassed by the government. He did say that he has worked with Canada, the U.S., and Germany,
I think.
In a lot of his experiments. And then, you know, Oh Canada comes in and raids him because they're saying about the guns first, mm-hmm. the so-called guns, but they take a lot of his equipment. And then a second time, they raid him. But a lot with these experiments is, you know, he keeps getting raided. And the second time he got raided, they took a lot of his equipment. And, you know, the scientists were actually more welcoming at first with his findings. And, you know, they weren't dismissive or anything like that from his experiments. Because right. They were like, okay, let's see how it works. Right?
There was that one video that I watched where there was an accredited scientist on there that was saying, his experiments are legit. We just have to find the baseline.
Right. Which it's hard because he's got so many different moving pieces.
And the government just took 80% of them.
Right.
90%.
Right. So he's constantly having to try to backfill and modify it to be able to create the same effect again.
Right.
It would just be better if they would just give this mad scientist his own lab and let him go at it.
Right. All he would have needed is a warehouse or something to just conduct. Well, you know, it had to be brick. Otherwise, the whole thing would have imploded. But
which is another reason that he got kicked out of his apartment.
Because steel beams. Again, like I said earlier, shit moving in neighbors' houses.
He made a neighbor crazy.
That neighbor, shit would drive me insane, too.
The neighbor thought there were ghosts.
Yes. I would do the same thing. Would you not? Yeah. Like, either I'm losing my mind or I have a ghost. Either way, this is not cool and I needed to stop.
Yeah. But now, I guess, evidently, John has gutted a bus. He is currently touring in the U.S. in his experiment bus. And he's asking for donations and that kind of stuff to carry on his experiments.
And one of the other things he does is like ocean cleanups.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of what his mobile laboratory is. Like, he drives around. I don't know how his laboratory would help with ocean cleanups. But, you know, whatever. Maybe it sucks the oil out, kind of like he creates a magnetic field. And kind of like it did with the ice cream.
Well, the oil up. Actually, he's been working a lot with fungi. He's not really just a fun guy. But
I was really trying to figure out how to add the fungi joke in there.
But no, he has started working on experiments with fungus. And the interesting thing with funguses is there are different specific types that will eat anything specific. There's a fungus out there that likes fuel. It likes oil. And it'll eat it.
So we need to use those.
So that's what he's trying to experiment with.
There's also zombie fungus.
Yes. One that'll
take over its host and turn it into a zombie.
Mm-hmm.
Another interesting science read I did this week.
Yeah. I mean, there's one fungus that will... How does it work? It resides in cat poop.
Oh my God.
That's why that doctors say for pregnant women not to deal with cat litter when they're pregnant.
Best 18 months of my life.
Because there is a type of bacteria / fungi that lives in cat poop, and a rat out in the wild or whatever, say like in New York. Let's just say New York because it's riddled with rats. Rat will eat the cat poop or somehow come in contact with it, right? Well, then that fungi gets into the rat's brain.
Yes.
And turns off all of the inhibitors of being scared of cats. So it doesn't care about the cat. Even though the cat's about to kill it, it doesn't care. It's everything is turned off of the fear of a cat. And the cat kills it, therefore getting the fungus again and shitting it out. And then the cycle begins again.
Is a parasite the same thing as a fungus?
It might be a parasite.
It is a parasite. Yes. So I wasn't... And it's called toxoplasmosis. And that is why women cannot scoop.
Scoop cat poop.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
But if it makes it so rats aren't scared, or rats and mice aren't scared of cats, I mean, I need to do research on this later because I'm definitely not scared of cats, so. Now I have so many more questions.
Neither is my dog. That white cat, it is not coming back in our yard anymore.
He's not?
Mm-mm.
Did Sagan get him?
Oh, I didn't tell you about that?
No.
Oh, yeah. He was staring out the window in our bedroom. And he's just staring. And I was like, what is it? And he's just staring, and I was like, you want to go get it? And he's like immediately running for the door.
He's like, you better not be fucking with me.
And I slowly open the door so not to get the cat, because cat's just laying out there, just basking in the sun.
Right.
And I popped that door open, and he took off for it, and it didn't move.
Shut the fuck up.
And he went for it, and it tried to claw at him. It was too much for it, and it took off, and it barely got over the fence. And we haven't seen him back in our yard yet.
Fuck around and find out.
Right. But he's been waiting for the day.
And you gave it to him.
Yep.
He is so fucking happy with you right now. He's like, you want me to clean up my old dog, my own dog shit? Got it.
Oh, he came back prancing. Like, I motherfucking ding, got ding. That cat.
Oh, I could see his tail now. Oh, he's like, show dog.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like a pony.
Yes.
You know, just trotting back. Yeah,
that's got the that day I should have braided his tail and put some beads in it.
But so you had a little bit on John with
the 9/11 stuff.
Yes.
It's just crazy to me because I don't really know. I don't think that they're disputing the fact that planes crashed into the World Trade Center. So basically, John Hutchinson and Dr. Judy Wood and again, this is one of the websites I want to share on the Facebook page, saying that the damage that was caused through the 9/11 attacks just on the World Trade Center, and I don't know why they're not touching on the Pentagon or whatever, was destroyed using direct energy weapons. And they support this through a series of pictures. And basically what they're saying is under normal circumstances, this kind of series of events would not have caused what they are seeing, such as bent metal, spontaneous fires only affecting certain things. Why aren't the trees burned? Bent beams and gelification, transmutation. Some of the items were just transformed in a way that you wouldn't see under a normal attack.
Warped like John's experience.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So just some of the pictures are very difficult to explain, and that's why I'm struggling with it, because when I look at the pictures, there's really no way to explain it. And I have a difficult time because we experienced that in our lifetime, and it comes with a lot of emotion. It's part of the reason why my husband joined the military. But some of the things they're saying is, again, the weird fires, but it didn't seem to ignite papers. But there was this really interesting thing, bent beams, jellification, thinning, transmutation, or rapid aging in some of the metals around there. The way the cars lifted, you know that in explosions, cars lift and they do sometimes turn in a way that's abnormal. Mm-hmm. But they're also saying that this could have been reproduced it through the direct energy weapons and or the anti-gravity effect. Toasted metal and effects where the metal wasn't melted, it was just toasted.
Metal doesn't burn.
Right.
That's the odd thing about it.
Right, right. These objects, like, and I can show you this one, where this is an actual picture of what looks to me of a fire truck. It says fire, where the metal was toasted. Mm-hmm. Not melted, not...
Like, you're going to get some scorching on the outside, but from the inside, it melts.
Right.
Metal melts. It has a melting point.
Transmutation, which means, and I didn't know that until today, that basically they change on it. The materials change at an elemental level. Mm-hmm. So it was like rapid rusting. And you look at all the pictures, or the pictures that they've provided on their website, show a lot of rusting on the exposed materials after the attack. And one thing that got me was what they call holes. And it is basically these very symmetrical holes in some of the metal, the windows, and I'll show you the windows because the windows really got me, is look how the windows aren't completely busted out.
Mm-mm. No, they aren't.
They're just holes. And they even caught that in some of the taller buildings. And I saw a picture of it earlier. I probably won't find it now. But in some of the taller buildings, even they were just like pinpoint holes in there. So does somebody else have John's technology?
He did work with three different governments.
Right.
Maybe they took what they needed from him and said, okay, we've got it from here. Appreciate your time. And then kept on going.
And was it really it? And the Al-Qaeda, I'm sorry, because I'm American, did not have that technology.
No.
I'm sorry, I'm an asshole.
If there was going to be any kind of inside job, it would have to come from a bigger government like ours.
Right. Ours. I mean, even the Russians have very good intellectual government.
Yeah, but their infrastructure is shot.
Well, it is. But if they could, I mean, if we had to worry about anyone, it would probably be them.
They got duct tape going up on the International Space Station kind of thing.
I hope that shit blows up.
Not with our people on it.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Not with our people on it. 100%. So I had never heard that before, when all the times that we have discussed and I've been doing research for 2 weeks, I literally just found this morning.
Yeah.
And I was like, what?
Could have been an inside job.
It could have been. And John's not the only one that has this technology. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I guess I never believed that.
They could have been working with him and then said, ah, this is bullshit. And then once he left, he's really on fucking something, you know, and they really tried to amp it up.
Well, and that's another thing I read, is if you're, tons of people came and viewed his experiments. And if you have one person that is knowledgeable on what's going on, they could very simply replicate that just by looking at what he had. So there's no reason why somebody else could not. And I'm not saying really honestly that the 9/11 thing is direct energy weapons or anything like that, but
it's a good theory. It has a conspiracy theory. That,
exactly. Yeah. It's that I have never heard of it before, and it just throws a hinge and makes you think that John wasn't some crackpot.
We never did 9/11.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Let's do it. But I did watch a video, and this is one that I'll post on the Facebook page, and it's by Robert Murray Smith. And he did have two Tesla coils, and he did, and he used a plastic toy. So that's probably, I have Siri on and I keep hitting her. I don't know what she thought I was saying, but I saw across the screen, it said any dick. That was not what I was saying.
It's like on TED 2. Wow, look at that big black hawk.
Like, bitch, who are you? I was not even talking to you. God, she is such a whore. But anyway, he did try to replicate one of the levitation, mm-hmm. but he used a plastic toy. So I don't really think it's valid.
Yeah.
Because the electromagnetic field.
You got to have some metal.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So he did try to discredit John Hutchinson in that.
Another thing with that is if he's trying to use Tesla coils, John had perfected his Tesla coils to not spark.
These ones didn't. I don't even know for sure if they were Tesla coils because they were flat.
Mm, I don't know. But yeah, Tesla coils typically will spark. They'll arc just because they have a high ampage to them. But John was able to make it so where they do not arc. They just emit that amperage.
Don't send out the lightning bolts and just create the field without
it. Creates the field without it.
Like on Stranger Things.
Could be.
Did you see that episode of Stranger Things?
I've watched them all.
Okay, so you know when the magnets stop working and Joyce goes to the science teacher's house and they create the electromagnetic field?
Mm-hmm.
I love that show. But there are a lot, there are now numerous peoples that just say John Hutchinson is a hoax and discredit him because he's not been able to replicate an experiment since 1991.
Yeah.
And he did not do himself any favors when he made that video with the UFO toy.
Yeah.
Because that he faked it and he did admit it, but he completely discredited himself.
Right.
And he set himself back.
And a lot of other people that are trying to discredit his videos, saying that the camera was upside down and it was on the ceiling. And that's why
I tried to see if I could tell that.
But it doesn't look like that. If it was on the ceiling and then somehow got released, right? There would be a terminal velocity.
Oh yeah.
And that's not what these things did.
Right.
These slowly had levitated. Raised it. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, the ice cream looked a lot more like marshmallow to me, but he still made it move. So, ice cream, marshmallow, who gives a shit?
Right.
But it still moved.
Yeah. What do you think? Do you think he's onto something? Or do you think it's all a hoax?
I think he's a genius.
I think so, too.
I think he's a genius. And I think if he had the right equipment and the right laboratory, for lack of a better term.
And the funding
and supportive people, he could be a Nikola Tesla.
I think he is our Nikola Tesla of the ages.
Without no support.
And he did it by brute force.
Mm-hmm.
He did it like Edison. Edison was trying to figure out the light bulb, and he did it by brute force.
Right.
This didn't work. Okay, let's try this. This doesn't work. No. And he did over thousands of experiments of trying to do everything until he finally figured out the vacuum inside of the light bulb.
I wonder if we can get a hold of John, and do you think he would do an interview with us?
Maybe.
Even if it's just on the phone?
Yeah. That'd be interesting. He has a lot of technobabble that the average person doesn't understand.
I would not understand it, but you could transcribe.
He'd probably lose me.
You think so?
In some things, yeah.
So we would need a transcriber.
We would need the geek pushing the glasses up constantly on the bridge of the nose, translating with, he came out with.
With the pocket protector?
Yes, yeah. With him talking about the flux capacitor and how much, and blah, blah, blah.
Well, I know what a flux capacitor is.
And then we just look over to the nerd, like, translation, please.
And we just have to go 88 miles per hour, right? It was at 88?
Is it 88? Oh my gosh. I think it is 88. I forget. I think it's 88 miles per hour, yes. It's been a while.
My husband just made the kid. Well, not just made. It's been a while, obviously, but he made the kids watch Back to the Future with him before he left.
Nice.
Libby was not interested. William was.
Just make like a tree and get out of here. It's a leaf, you idiot.
You know what I love that is the Back to the Future of our time? Hot Tub Time Machine.
I have not watched that.
You've not?
No.
So they go back in time to like the 80s and the one guy starts singing Black Eyed Peas songs and makes himself a millionaire. And it's hilarious because I love that movie. Nice. Yeah, it's pretty funny. You have to watch Hot Tub Time Machine. Accidentally dump an energy drink basically inside of a hot tub and it takes them back in time.
And that's the time machine.
Mm-hmm. It's the time machine and takes them back.
Just an energy drink, huh?
Yep. Yep. Just an energy drink. I mean, who knows what the fuck is in those things for real?
Funny stat for time travel. If we were to create a portal for that, like a wormhole.
Yeah.
One, we don't have the energy here on Earth.
Right.
Or even just the mass of this Earth doesn't have the energy. We would literally have to take a planet the size of Saturn and shrink it down to a door, like a door size.
Right.
To be able to have enough mass and energy compacted into one area.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
To be able to do that.
And it's lateral. Time travel is not really traveling in time, but more lateral, that you're going to a different multiverse.
Well, just kind of like in Back to the Future, if you change something, then timeline splits.
Right.
All theoretical, though.
Yeah. I don't want to do any of that.
There's too many paradoxes in time travel.
Like if I accidentally step on a bug, did I ruin everything?
The grandfather paradox. If you go back in time and kill your grandfather.
Are you even born?
Then how were you able to go back in time and kill him?
Right.
Or if there was such a thing as time travel, and what's the biggest thing everybody always says that they'll go back and do throughout like our history? What's one major thing that majority of people would say they would go back and do?
Well, it's some kind of mistake.
Right. Or try to stop a mistake from on the world level.
So like try to change like 9/11,
or keep go back more.
The world wars.
Kill Hitler.
Oh, no.
Right.
We just talked. No, you weren't here. Did you saw the paper on your desk?
About what?
Did you see the paper on your desk?
About what?
That spelled hell.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's done that.
Yeah. My mind was completely fucking blown.
Yeah.
So anyway, but Hitler should have been in my forethought.
Well, the paradox is everybody always says, well, I'd go back and kill Hitler. Right? So because, you know, he killed millions and blah, 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 and everything would change.
But who's correct? To say?
Everything would change. So technically, if someone was to go back and kill Hitler, then how would you know about Hitler?
It would just be somebody else.
Right.
Fucking time travel.
Or Jimi Hendrix. One of his, what's his one of most favorite song of Jimi?
Purple Haze.
Okay, Purple Haze. Jimi Hendrix now, if he was still alive, and he goes back in time, and he teaches his young self Purple Haze.
Mm-hmm.
Then Purple Haze was never created by anyone. It just was. Does that make sense? Because Jimi Hendrix now, well, how did he learn Purple Haze? Well, he had
an acid-induced trip.
Well, this Jimi Hendrix now learned Purple Haze. How did he learn Purple Haze? By the one that went back
and taught himself. Right.
Purple Haze. But, so then it was never created. The loop has started where Purple Haze just came out of nowhere.
Right. It was just always.
It was just always there.
Embedded. Fucking hell. I love the story of acid-induced better, so.
But, no, I think John is definitely onto something. I hope he keeps it up. I hope he passes down the information to someone, or at least someone will keep carrying on with his experiments.
What concerns me, again, is that he's not been able to replicate, and I really understand that a lot of his equipment is gone.
Just write some shit down, John.
You could have created your own fucking computer with all that equipment. So please tell me you have it somewhere.
Yeah.
But it also concerns me because his website is still looks like freaking MySpace. So I don't have a lot of hope for it being shared.
Well, we're getting to our hour mark here.
Yep.
So, fun one. I like that one.
I did too. I had a lot of fun researching because I had not heard of the Hutchinson effect before I met you.
Yeah.
And rabbit hole.
Yep. Love the rabbit holes.
Oh, yeah.
So, once again, guys, we're going to wrap it up. And you can check us out on the Facebook page. And I'm going to make sure to get her an admin on that. And it is the Abnormal Matters Podcast on Facebook. And you can also email us if you have anything interesting. I'm also adding a poll on our episodes of, you know, what do you want to listen to next? If you have any ideas, definitely stick them in there. We'll check out those rabbit holes for you. Once again, this is Ian.
And Rachel, thank you so much.
And we'll talk to you soon.